could you start by giving me a little bit of background information about yourself?
So I am 33 years old. I'm living in Derbyshire at the moment.
Okay.
And I've been running for about, I've never really not run at all, but I've been running long distances for and racing and stuff for probably about 6 or 7 years now. And I do that alongside working as a paediatrician.
Excellent.
In Derbyshire as well.
Yeah.
And that's basically how I spend my time at the moment.
Beautiful. How do you balance being a paediatrician with running and challenges and racing when the races come back?
I think it's not ideal in lots of ways in terms of, you know, I work lots of antisocial hours and things like that. But in a way it is beneficial in that it kind of gives me perspective, I guess. And that knowing that running is really just a hobby and that in the grand scheme of things it doesn't really matter that much. So when things go well it's great, and when things don't go so well it's like, well, it doesn't really matter, it's only running, it's not like you know, the most important thing in my life, I suppose. It's like, it can be hard at times kind of fitting everything in, and I do find myself like really tired a lot of the time. But I think on the whole it's okay to really push yourself and be tired for short periods at a time, like in the build up to a race, as long as it's you're not sleep deprived all year round. So
absolutely. Well, there is that. Yeah. Would you say you're quite relaxed when it comes to running then?
I wouldn't say relaxed. Mm-hmm. Like maybe I downplayed it a bit. Like it is important to me, of course.
Of course.
But it's not like I feel so much pressure going into races and things like that. So yeah, I do take it seriously, and I have a coach. I follow a training plan. I do like everything in my power for training to go well and to do well at races. But you know what I mean? Like it doesn't. Yeah. I know that deep down, going into a race, sometimes I, you know, see all my competition and know that, you know, they're full-time athletes and the result is really, really important to them. And yes, it's important to me as well, but you know, it's not the most important thing.
I would say
make that much difference.
I would say that's a good thing though.
Absolutely, it is.
How long have you been running ultra marathons?
About 6 or 7 years. I didn't kind of start running and then go through that natural progression of running 5Ks, then 10Ks, then marathons. That way, when I decided I was gonna run a bit more, I kind of went straight into running ultras.
Right. Okay. Baptism of fire then, in that case. What does being out in the mountains and in the fells mean to you?
What does it mean to me? It's certainly, it is a means of escape from like everyday life and from work, and it's so much a part of my life. That if I don't go out running and be in the hills and stuff, then I'm not the person I want to be when I'm not out running. I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I can't completely, like, I don't know exactly why it is. I have had lots of different theories, but yeah, it's kind of this addiction, I guess. And if I don't go outside and run and things, then I'm mainly grumpy and miserable.
Does it have quite an impact on your mental well-being if you don't get out?
I mean, it's not like I get depressed or anything. I'm not, you know, I don't have as much energy. I feel a bit flat. I'm just, probably just a bit grumpy, that type of thing.
Yeah, totally understandable. Do you feel something specific when you're on the Bob Graham round as opposed to any other trail?
Sorry, say that again.
Do you feel anything specific when you're running the Bob Graham round?
Anything specific as in different to...
Different to any other running, any other trail that you might run?
I mean, not really, because, I mean, most of my running I do, even though when I race, I go all over the world racing and things, but most of my training is out in on the fells, so in the Lake District or in Snowdonia or in Scotland.
Yeah.
So running on the Bob Graham route is like, it's not like a, it's kind of my normal environment, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's
absolutely.
Not something like different or special, or I mean, obviously it's special, but it's kind of my normal training environment. So it's where I like to be there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's kind of normal.
Perfect. Do you feel that you're part of the fell running community? And if so, what does being in the community mean to you?
Honestly, I would not say I was a fell runner.
Oh, really?
Or in the fell running community. No, which might sound odd. But I feel... So I've mainly run... I have done some fell races and stuff, but it's not like I'm racing all the fell races or spend all my time... most of my races I've done the last few years have been on the trails.
Right, yeah.
So no, I wouldn't say I'm a fell runner. I can run on fells, but I think to be part of a community, it's something different. And I wouldn't like to say I was really part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not like I feel like an outsider, but, you know, it's not like if I were to say I was part of the fell running community, I think true members of the fell running community would be like, oh, really? She hasn't been to that many races or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or done that much on the fells.
Yeah. Fair enough. Do you feel like your training history, i.e. Lakeland 100 and UTMB, taught you any lessons that you still carry with you and apply to your running today?
Yeah. I mean, I think when you start doing races... you learn so much so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I do a race, I learn something. But I think at the beginning, the learning curve is so steep.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, I learned everything, you know, all the most important things about in nutrition, pacing, how to train, all those things from those early races.
Yeah.
That for sure, like it's a continuous process, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Continuously learning.
Yeah.
Do you feel that the lessons that you learned from those races helped you elevate your success when you went for the fastest known time on the Bob Graham?
Sure. I mean, a similar answer to the previous question, really. Like, I think you're always, like, learning things and refining your different, like, racing strategies.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the Bob Graham round was, like, an accumulation of, you know, 7 years of running, you know, in the mountains, I guess.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, the 3 months of training beforehand, it was, yeah, it's obviously the final training block is important for physical fitness, but yeah, really it's accumulation of everything you've learned in your career so far, I think.
Absolutely. When training isn't going so well, how do you stay focused?
I think I almost detach myself from it sometimes. I think that it's so much part of my routine.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes don't think about it that much.
Right.
So if I've got a hard session and I know I'm tired and I know it's going to be like, you know, sometimes it's easy to get out the door and go running. And if I know it's going to be hard, I'll probably just do it first thing in the morning. So I get out of bed and I just go and do it without having any time to think. You just kind of go through the motions and get it done and not think about how much it's going to hurt or think about the splits you want to run or anything like that. You just go and do it.
Yeah.
And it's almost like an out-of-body experience, I guess. It's like you don't think about going and brushing your teeth. You don't. I don't know, it's just not, you just do it.
Yeah,
I like often, that. Yeah, and often if you know it's, sometimes, you know, I think about things loads and I'm really, really engaged, but when it's getting hard, I find detaching myself from it and just going through the motions, getting it done, is effective.
Fantastic. How do you feel about there being less women attempting challenges like this and setting records within the fells or the mountains?
I think I wouldn't say that necessarily, if I think about this year, that there have been fewer women attempting these challenges. I think it's been fairly balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right in that historically that fewer women have done these things. And if you think about all the famous fell running rounds, they're all named after men rather than women.
They most certainly are, yeah.
Because, you know, men have been doing it longer than women.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like to think that more and more women are doing these challenges. And, I think that, that it's changing, which is really, really positive.
Yeah. Going on that a little bit then, how do you think we can encourage more women to get out on the fells?
I think so this is a question I get asked a lot, and it's certainly not straightforward.
No.
I think things like equal media coverage for men and women is so, so important. And again, that's changing, and it's what I, you know, just what I've seen in the last few years since I've been in the sport, is that it's changed hugely, and that, you know, women's fell running, women's trail running, women running rounds, mm-hmm. men running rounds has been covered. People are talking about them fairly equally, I would say.
Which
is great. And I think as a consequence of that, more and more women are getting out into the fells and getting into trail running and that type of thing. I think, you know, how we can get sort of numbers in races equal is difficult. There have been like lots of proposed ways about weighting race lotteries to get more women in, but then I'm not sure that's entirely fair, because if more men want to do the races, then it seems unfair that if you're a woman you can get an automatic spot. I think it's changing, and I don't know. There is no obvious solution. If there was, that we'd probably be doing it. But small things are making a difference, I think.
Wonderful. What personally motivates you to set your challenges?
I think it's a good question. So I think, like, when I achieve things, I mean, well, so setting challenges and things is not just about achieving things, it's also about like going through the process of training for something, and you have to enjoy that process. Like doing the Bob Graham round for me was as much about the process, and I enjoyed you know, it gave me a focus for several months. But I think when you achieve something, then it does give you maybe some confidence, and not just about your running ability, but sort of in everyday life. You know, if you think about times when you've had to dig really deep to get through some ultra running event, then smaller things in life suddenly seem much easier.
Absolutely.
I don't entirely know why I do it, why other people do it, to be honest.
Yeah, I know it's a very personal thing. Absolutely, but it's a wonderful way to look at it, making other things seem smaller and more manageable.
I think so.
Yeah. So, specifically discussing your Bob Graham then, what preparation did you do for this attempt, and how much behind-the-scenes work was involved?
So I think pretty much all of it was behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what happened on the day was by far the easiest bit of the whole process.
Okay.
So I've been training for it, I guess, since March, so about a 3 or 4 month block. In part it was about getting fit specifically for the course, so mm-hmm. getting out lots of training runs on specific terrain, so getting the right amount of climbing, running on rough terrain, that type of thing. So it was about the physical preparation, and then about getting to know the route. So on the Bob Graham round, you there is no set route, so you take your own line between the fells. So having an intimate knowledge of the route is really important. So that was a big part of it, sort of getting on the route and trying out different lines and that type of thing.
You did a lot of recces then in that case.
I did, yeah. And then the third part of it, I guess, is a preparation for the actual day. So putting together a schedule, getting supporters to come out, preparing everything else like your kit and nutrition and that type of thing. So yeah, it's not like a, it makes you realize how easy racing is.
Yeah.
Because you just have to turn up maybe with one person to support you.
Absolutely.
And just like run a route, like it's dead easy. But yeah, there are lots of other things to think about when it in the Bob Graham.
Does it make it easier on your mind when you're kind of waiting to start, knowing that you've put all the preparation in and now all you have to do is run?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember thinking when I set off that I was just so relieved that all that preparation was over and all I had to do was just run. As I said, that was by far the easiest bit of the whole thing. But I mean, I always like to be prepared. So I don't think I've really ever gone into something, you know, a race feeling completely underprepared before. So I think, yeah, that's kind of part of my personality, I suppose.
Well, that's also a good thing, though, isn't it? Knowing that when you're on the start line, you've done everything you can to make it a success.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Did you have any strategy or tactics? I know you mentioned a schedule.
Yeah. I mean, my schedules, it probably doesn't make that much difference to how you actually run on the day, but it's useful to know, to have like your expected arrival time at all the summits, in part for your support team, so they know kind of when to expect you, and in part so you know roughly how fast you're running if you're running for a specific time. So it was good for me to know that I was ahead of my schedule, so I was ahead of record pace, which gave me a big boost. But if I had no schedule, you know, I don't think it would actually made any difference to how fast I ran. But yeah, it's kind of a tradition to have a schedule when you're doing a round like that. I thought it was necessary.
Fair enough. In another interview, I've noticed that you mentioned that you were aiming for a second fastest time. Can you tell me about that?
A second fastest time?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're referring to.
You mentioned that you weren't going after the fastest known time, but potentially that you were going to go for a second.
So I thought, so Jasmine Paris, who held the record before me, you set an incredible record, and that it wasn't until not long before my attempt that I thought that I was actually, you know, breaking her record was within reach. I presumed I would be running slower than her, but going for the second fastest time on the Bob Graham round. But having done some recces at Jasmine's pace, I realised that the record probably was within reach. So yeah, I took confidence from that and went for the record instead.
Absolutely. And did your schedule, was it written for the record?
Yes, it was written for 1 minute faster than the record.
Oh wow.
Yes.
Wow. Cutting it fine.
Yeah, well, yes, but on the day it didn't actually.
Oh no, no.
It was it didn't mean a whole lot.
Do you do anything to prepare your mind for a challenge like this? And how important do you feel that mindset is during a challenge?
I don't do anything specific to prepare my mind. Okay. If I'm honest, like I went into it feeling very tired, very stressed.
Okay. Was that due to work or the admin behind the challenge or training?
Everything. So yeah, it's nothing I do like in preparation for it. I think in terms of mindset, it's all about confidence. You know, if I've set off not thinking that I could finish or thinking that I was going to run 16 hours or something, that's probably what I would have done.
Yeah.
But I went into it and knowing from my training that I could do it, and other people have told me that I could do it, I think it was all about confidence, to be honest. And I went into it, knowing that I could get the record, and I just had to, you know, do everything right on the day, and bar disasters, I could make it happen. That's what happened.
Excellent. So what was Jasmine's time and what was your time?
So Jasmine's time was 15:24, mm-hmm. and I ran 14:34.
That's incredible. Did COVID have any impact on your training? And if so, what was it?
Yes, it had every impact on my training. So where I live, I don't have big hills.
No.
So during the first lockdown, I was just running from home like everyone else. So had to be quite imaginative with training, to try and get lots of climbing in as possible. So running up and down the same hill lots of times and that type of thing. And then as soon as we were allowed to travel, then I spent as much time on the Bob Graham route as possible. So it certainly did impact my training. Although, you know, if it wasn't for COVID, I would not have done the Bob Graham around this year. So it's difficult to say that it helped me or didn't help me, because I know that it wouldn't have happened if COVID didn't happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you feel like the lack of races this year helped you to be in a better physical shape to take on the attempt?
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't normally go have a training block that long between races. So
no.
It did make a difference, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speak to me about Martin Cox. Do you still work with him? And how did he help you prepare for this run?
So I've been working with Martin for... it must be 3 years now.
Okay.
Just over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He helped me get in great physical shape for it, but that's what he does every time I have a race or something like that. He also helped me with, he knows the Bob Graham round, he knows the route, he knows locals in the Lake District, and so he did help me pull together a support team as well.
Okay.
Which was really helpful.
He did
what he always does, I guess, which is just kind of goes above and beyond to get me in great shape for it. I don't think many coaches would like check the weather forecast and tweak your training program based on the weather and that type of thing. So yeah, he was an integral part of it.
But he sounds like an incredible person.
He just did what he does all year round, I guess.
Yeah, and that's why you've been training with him for so long.
Excellent.
Did your decision to move the attempt forward due to the weather window affect your ability to have a support crew?
Yes. Well, I mean, it led to a lot of last minute stress to get enough people together.
Yeah.
But in the end, it all worked out fine.
Yeah.
It was a bit touch and go at times whether I'd get enough support to for the new day. But I didn't really have a choice, because if I'd left it as it was, it wouldn't have happened. The weather was really bad, so
no.
I didn't really have much of a choice. It was either move it or call it off.
Oh, absolutely, and you made the 100% made the right call, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Now I know I did. Yeah.
Was there any question of doubt that you didn't make the right decision?
I only knew the day before that it was actually going to happen.
Right. Okay.
Because of the last minute. Rearranging all the support and that type of thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know until the day before.
Fantastic. Was the decision to do it without a tracker or a public announcement intentional? And if so, why?
Not really, to be honest. As I said, I had quite a stressful couple of weeks beforehand, both with work and then with you know, changing the day of my attempt, and it was something I just hadn't really thought about. And I mean, I intentionally wanted to keep it low key, because that's kind of what far running's about. So maybe subconsciously it was a like that, but yeah, if I'm honest, it was I just didn't really think about it.
Fair enough. But again, it worked out perfectly, so that was again a good decision.
Yeah, I didn't regret it.
No. How did you feel the night before? Did you sleep much, and do you have any kind of routine before you go into something like this?
I don't recall sleeping very much. I rarely sleep well before things like this, and I know now that it doesn't actually affect like how a race or something goes.
No.
So I don't really stress about it.
Okay. I would say that's part of the routine then, is it?
Yeah, I don't really have a routine. No, I wouldn't say. No, just the normal things. I mean, the preparation for every race is kind of completely different.
Absolutely.
I mean, sometimes, half the time, I'm like, you know, before the Bob Graham, we were staying in the van in the lakes. Half the time before races, I'm in a van. Sometimes I'm at home, sometimes I'm somewhere else. So you just, I think, yeah, just having too much of a routine for races like this can be a detrimental, because you can't always stick to them. So
just adds more stress into the attempt.
Yeah, exactly.
Unnecessary stress.
Yeah.
You've said that you felt relieved when you were standing on the start line. Was there any other feelings going on?
I was excited.
Yeah?
Sure, I was excited. Like, I knew that I was in good shape, and, you know, I've been working towards it for a long time. So, yeah, like, I guess it's normal to be excited. They were the two, like, overwhelming feelings, I guess.
Both very positive, though, aren't they?
I'm not sure about the relief bit, but...
Well, I think it sets you up with less stress, doesn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Did the weather conditions from the recce's versus on the day of the race change, and did they affect your attempt?
I mean, during training, I'd run in every condition.
of course.
You know, a lot, which is just how it is in the lake. So, yeah, I'd done training there in, like, 30-degree heat. I'd done a lot of days of really miserable weather. I think, you know, living and training in the UK, it's
you do get everything.
Exactly. So no, I don't think it made a difference.
Excellent.
No.
Your splits were very, very strong throughout your attempt. How did that feel? And did it give you any kind of mental boost as you were going along?
Yeah, like, it did give... Knowing that I was going faster than I thought I would gave me a boost, for sure. It did make me worry quite a lot as well that I was going too fast. But I just put those feelings aside and did what felt right. It's easier to... I mean, the whole thing is more enjoyable if you know that it's going well and you're running ahead of your split. So,
absolutely.
So, yeah, sure it did.
Are you quite rigid with the schedule? Did you check it a lot while you were running?
I think I did early on. I wanted to know where I was. I mean, most of the numbers, I knew it in my head anyway. But then later on, because I knew that I'd been consistently up on my splits, and I stopped worrying about it, and I didn't think about it that much, I guess.
Yeah. Can you describe any specific high points or low points from the attempt?
So I think in terms of high points, I mean, I did enjoy the whole thing. There wasn't any of it really that I didn't enjoy.
Really?
No.
Wow.
I think for me, it was the end of leg three, so running down off Scarfell into Wasdale, which I love that descent anyway. And it was, I think once you've done leg three, like, you're kind of on the way home. And... because I was feeling good at that point, I got quite a lot of confidence from that, and I thought that the record was going to happen. So I think I was just relaxed, and I was just having a good time. I don't think I really had any low points, to be honest.
Wow.
That's
incredible.
Nothing that really jumps out.
Absolutely incredible. So in the high point then, you said that that's when you knew you were going to get the record. Was that like a turning point in the race for you?
I mean, not really a turning point, I guess. I just, yeah, as I said, I just relaxed a lot more. I mean, I didn't know I was going to get the record, but it just seemed more likely. I mean, you know, the further on you get, obviously, more likely it is to happen if you're still feeling good.
Yeah, definitely.
It didn't change anything, I wouldn't say.
You just enjoyed the parts while they were there.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite part of the route? And if so, how did it feel when you reached that part during the attempt?
I love like the high part of leg three. So all the way kind of from, I'd say, Rosset Pike to Scarfell. I love that that high section.
Yeah.
It's really technical and I enjoy that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, I don't particularly enjoy leg one.
No.
But the rest of it, yeah, you know, it's I wanted to be there, and just I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Being present in the moment.
Yeah.
What is it about leg one that you don't particularly enjoy?
I think it's just you know, it's not that exciting scenery. The terrain isn't very inspiring. It's just lots of bog.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have nothing particularly against it, but there are other legs that are just more interesting, I suppose.
Fair enough. Speaking of bogs, what did you do for foot care, if anything? And please tell me about the fabulous socks you were wearing during the attempt, because I love them.
Really? I don't even know what socks I did wear.
You were wearing some knee-length candy cane striped socks, and they were fab.
Knee length?
Yeah.
I don't think I was.
Oh, really? I'm sure. Never mind. I'm sure you were wearing some knee length socks, but...
No, I wasn't wearing knee length socks. I don't even think you could see what socks I was wearing. So I was wearing gaiters over the top anyway, but they were short, like ankle socks.
Oh, right.
And I honestly can't remember what I wore.
Did you do anything for foot care?
No, nothing. Just put on my socks and my shoes and gaiters.
Yeah.
At the beginning and took them off at the end.
Did the bogs affect that in any way?
No. I mean, I had wet feet, but
yeah.
I guess I'm used to running with wet feet and my feet are fine. Yeah, they're pretty tough, so...
You train in the UK, as you've said, mentioned.
It's all... Yeah, exactly.
We're quite used to being wet feet, aren't we?
Yeah.
Do you have any mantras or something that you can draw upon when things get really tough?
Not really, to be honest.
No.
No. I mean, I think I just remind myself that I've chosen to be there.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing is really a privilege.
Yeah.
And no one really cares about it except me.
Fair enough. Yeah. Very, so, very straightforward.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Was there any point where, in during the attempt, which you knew that you were going to set the record? And if so, when was it?
I mean, no, not really. Like, as I said before, like, the further you get on, the more likely it is it's going to happen. So it wasn't like a moment. It was a gradual realisation, I think.
Yeah.
And I mean, by the end of leg four, you know, I was pretty certain that it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there wasn't like a specific moment, because you never really know what's going to happen.
Well, this is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did your confidence grow as you were going along, noticing that you were running really strongly?
Yeah, exactly. It was, a gradual growing of confidence and feeling that it was going to happen.
Yeah. Did you use hiking poles in your attempt? And if so, do you feel like they made a lot of difference to you?
Yes, I used poles. I used some Leckie poles.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they made a difference, I think. I think that lots of people use them for like long distance fell challenges and races.
Yeah.
but whether they help or not is completely dependent on how much you've trained with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think a lot of people get them out for a long race having not really used them much before and probably don't use them very effectively. But I train a lot with poles.
Yeah.
So for me, they definitely helped. Yeah.
Absolutely. And did they help on the ascent or coming down the hills or just on the flats or just in general?
Going up. Yeah. I didn't use them at any other point.
No. So. Fair enough. Tell me about your diet. What is your diet on a day-to-day basis? Did it differ during the attempt? Did you carry anything with you? So on and so forth.
So on a day-to-day basis, I'm vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I am like, I know, 90% plant-based, but I do, I'm not strict with it.
No.
I eat eggs. We have our own hens, so I eat their eggs.
Oh, lovely.
And, you know, I'll have the odd bit of milk in my tea when I'm at work. I'm not particularly, I don't stick to anything rigidly.
No.
And I don't know, it's probably very high in carbohydrate compared to the average diet, for obvious reasons.
I mean, I can imagine you get through an awful lot of miles in your training.
Yeah, but aside from that, there's nothing particularly special about it.
Mm-hmm.
And during when I'm racing, and so during the Bob Graham, I work out exactly how many hours I'll be running for, and I know that I need about 80 or 90 grams of carbohydrate per hour, so I work that out, and I take that mainly from gels. So I use a type of gel called Spring Energy Gels.
Okay.
Which are kind of mainly rice based with some fruit, so kind of some complex carbohydrate.
Yeah.
And then I'll have the odd glass of Coke and maybe some Mountain Fuel drink to supplement that.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of strategy I've been using for the last few years, and that seems to work pretty well for me.
Absolutely. If you've been doing it for that long, it definitely works, doesn't it?
Yeah. It seems to.
How did it feel to get to the finish knowing that you'd set a new Bob Graham round record?
Yeah, it was a pretty cool feeling. I think because it had been such a like a big build up, I guess, nothing had happened for so long.
Yeah.
Been working towards it for a long time, but yeah, it felt amazing. Like nothing really could beat that. I don't know, I felt like, for me, you know, it's a huge thing for me personally. I also felt like I kind of owed it to, like, my husband and, other friends and family, having been so focused on it for so long, and other people having made sacrifices to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I owed it to my support team as well, I guess, who had given up their time and, you know, taken a day off work and that type of thing.
Yeah.
So, it was, overwhelmingly positive.
Did you have a post-race treat? And if so, what was it?
I don't have treats, but I don't, like, if I want something, I'll have it at any point.
Fair enough.
I don't, like, not have things because they're treats and only save them for special occasions.
I love that mindset. That's fantastic.
So there's nothing that I don't have at any point. You know,
fair enough.
I don't know what I would have as a treat. I honestly don't. There's nothing, because I haven't. Yeah, I don't hold myself back. If I want something, I'll have it, whatever time it is.
That's phenomenal. I love that. Going back to your support crew, tell me about your support crew. What duties did they have? Did they meet you at support points? Did you have pacers? Tell me all about it.
So I had pacers who mm-hmm. ran with me. So you need people to run with you to witness you going to the summit.
So
I had a couple per leg.
Mm-hmm.
And so they helped with the navigation. They also carried my food for me and drink, and generally were offering me encouragement and that type of thing, and they were all superb.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had so you have support on the ground as well, so driving between the road crossings, so mm-hmm. giving the pacers lifts and also meeting me and then giving me you know, a bit of food at the road crossings and that type of thing. So you didn't need to run to be able to do that. So my parents mainly did that.
That's lovely.
And my husband and my husband was there as well, mm-hmm. doing various things. Also went up to Broadstand, which is the rocky step between Scarfell and Scarfell Pike, to rig up a rope so I could go up there.
Oh wow! Fantastic.
So yeah, lots of people involved who made it happen. Yeah.
How did it differ physically from the running aspect to the climbing aspect using the rope that you've just mentioned?
I mean, fell running does involve scrambling anyway, so it's not like it's you ask a marathon runner to climb a climb something. So it's not like too foreign, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's like not straightforward, that particular section. So
no.
You do kind of use different muscles. So yeah, it was surprised. I did find it surprisingly hard, actually.
Okay.
You know, with 40 miles of running already in my legs.
So it wasn't a nice break from the running then?
No, absolutely not. No.
How did you feel having your parents on your road support? Did that add anything special?
I mean, it's actually quite difficult to keep them away from races.
Right.
I mean, they really enjoy it. They want to be there. And I mean, if anything, it was nerve-wracking because I didn't know if I could trust them. They're a bit overexcitable.
Yes. Yeah.
They'd get distracted or something. But yeah, it was nice them being around, for sure. Yeah.
They sound wonderful.
I mentioned that my sister and her husband were also there, so basically my whole family were there.
A nice family event then.
Doing various things, yeah.
No pressure, but all of your family are watching now. What did you do to recover? Do you do anything specific for your body or your mind when you're recovering from a big challenge?
Honestly, I did not recover very well from this.
No?
Because, yeah, I think all the hype in the media afterwards was, obviously it was, you know, it was amazing that it got so much attention.
Yeah.
But actually really exhausting.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. Yeah.
I was, you know, back at work on the Monday and things, and yeah, trying to squeeze in interviews, and yeah, working and obviously physically needing to recover, but not really being able to, and not really getting enough sleep. So yeah, I didn't recover particularly well.
No.
And I don't do anything specific. I use Compex for my sore muscles.
Okay.
But apart from that, nothing really specific, just the obvious things, like you're obviously hungry,
yeah,
so you eat a lot. I would say
that's the best part.
You need to get more sleep, but I don't do that.
No. No, you do seem to have quite a busy lifestyle, don't you?
Yeah, fairly busy.
Eat, sleep, and look after the sore muscles then.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a really good recovery plan in my mind.
Yeah.
If it played out that way, of course. What key factors do you feel helped make this a successful attempt?
What factors?
Yeah.
Inevitably there is some luck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need luck, you need the right conditions.
Yes.
So there was luck involved. Mm-hmm. You need to not have any freak accidents, like on the day or beforehand. So sure, there is luck involved. Mm-hmm. And then it's about the two other things are like physical preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And then like other preparations, so you know, getting to know the route, sorting out some paces, support team, that type of thing. Physical preparation, logistical preparation, and then luck on the day.
Excellent. Could you offer one piece of advice to any new ultra runners?
Read some books and get inspired.
Okay.
I mean, I learned a lot of, when I was getting into running, I just read loads of books, and that's how I started to learn about different races, and you know, how to train, like different equipment and all those things. So yeah, just read.
Yeah.
Read.
Do you have any book recommendations that you specifically loved?
Feet in the Clouds was the first running related book that I read.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that talks a lot about the Bob Graham Round, and that it was after reading that book that I, you know, always wanted to do a Bob Graham Round. So there are plenty of others, you know, I could list hundreds.
Of course, of course.
But as that, to me, that was the first book I read, I'd say that it meant a lot to me, I guess.
And finally, can you offer any advice to experienced ultra runners who may be looking at going for a Bob Graham record?
Well, I'm not sure I should be giving advice to go for a Bob Graham record.
Well, there is that. Yeah. Okay then. Can you offer any?
No, I don't. It's just all the little things. There's no like magic secret or. I mean, there's nothing. It's just all the stuff I've mentioned before. There's really no like magic trick or like key training session or anything like that. It's just all the little things.
There's no substitute for all the preparation.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that has been wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today.
No worries. Thanks for calling.
It's been marvellous.